As many of you know, this is the Epiphany Sunday, and we begin a season of Epiphany. Epiphany comes from a Greek word that means manifestation, revelation, unveiling, disclosure. It just means this is the time when God tells us something, and we go, aha, this is it. Is that right? It's not like a surprise when you open a letter and Uncle Sam says you owe $25,000. Not that kind of surprise. It is a surprise when you're meeting someone in this church and they tell you, I know where Little Falls is because I've been there. Sarah said that. And we were sharing some information and you could tell our eyes opened up because we mentioned things that we know. We got it. I understand. Epiphany is a season when God tells us something and when we think about it a little, we say, aha, that's what he meant. That's what God is trying to say. So I hope that in the next few Sundays, when you come to church, you look for that moment when God will speak to you and you say, aha, that's what I needed for today. In the first service, we held our African Epiphany Sunday, and it was wonderful. It was great to experience different sound, different colors. It makes us realize that the congregation that is among us, the African Fellowship, they call themselves the African diaspora. But you know what? We are all part of the diaspora, aren't we? Perhaps except for the 2% Native Americans in this country, all of us hail from some other place, some other group. Some 282 nations, they say, or ethnic groups we call our ancestors. This is a nation of immigrants, people who have come from other places. I looked at the 2010 census. Well, they didn't have the information. 2000 census. 15% of Americans call Germany their nation of origin. 15%, that's a lot, right? Almost 55 million of us. Then come the Irish, almost 11%. Maybe 40, 45 million of us call Ireland part of our heritage. Then it goes down to Africa, about 10%. Then England, 9%. Actually, in the census, there are about 10% who say America is their ancestry, meaning, I guess, that they look to the colonial generation as their heritage. 8% call Mexico their heritage. All our ancestors, or we ourselves, left our homelands to seek a better life, isn't it? Or better opportunity. Or in some cases, because you had to leave that place. Anywhere than here, some people said. I had a chance during the past several months to read a book by John Kelly called The Graves Are Walking. It is the story of the Irish migration after the Great Famine. I learned a lot. There were many moments in that book while I was reading that I said, aha, I didn't know that. I didn't know that the most Irish came to this country saying, anywhere than here. It wasn't that they were seeking a better dream or opportunity. It was that the life at home was so terrible, so devastating, that they just had to leave. They were poor. 95% had no money to buy the tickets. So then how did they get on the ships? The landlords pay for them because they want to throw them off the land to get rid of tenants who couldn't pay their money. Not only that, on many of these migrant ships, almost half the people died on the ships. There was a section in the book where they describe how the Irish migrants traveled and how the German migrants traveled. Because in Germany, there also was a potato famine. But when the Germans left Germany to come to America, they came prepared. Their landlords did not throw them off the land, putting them on the ship. So when Germans were in England trying to get on the ship, and there was the Irish migrants, John Kelly describes how they looked. The Germans had their bags, they had their food, they had tools they were taking to the new land. Irish, most of them were sick to begin with, no money. Most of them only just had the clothing on their backs, and very few had enough food to last them for the 2 weeks across the ocean. No wonder on many ships, almost half the people died from malnutrition and from typhus and other illnesses. People who had dreams of getting away, but who never even had a chance to start all over. So many of our immigrant ancestors came in so many different ways to seek a better dream. Epiphany Sunday suggests to us that Jesus, or our God, is a migrant God, an immigrant. Our ancestors came to seek a better life. Jesus came from heaven to earth to help us have a better life. Yet, his life was just like the Irish immigrants in many ways. He was born in a place that you couldn't call home. His parents didn't have much. He lived his life moving from place to place. In one place in the Bible, he says, "I have no place to lay down my head," Jesus said. In the end, even his friends neglected him. His dead body was placed in a tomb that was borrowed. Yet Jesus, living his immigrant life, was full of happiness, because he realized that through his life, he was bringing joy, peace, understanding, heaven into people's lives that were devastated. He had found his mission. The Magi story, Matthew, just reveals one single fact that I hope that we can remember. The Bible makes it very clear that these kings, these magi, these scientists, I guess in today's terms, were not Jewish people. They were foreigners, outsiders. Yet it is they who came looking for this king who would promise us a different kind of a world. They came looking beyond their borders for this one, promise my heaven, who will give us a different kind of a world. So often in religious circles, we end up thinking that we are the only ones who have the truth, or that we have arrived. The story of the Magi, especially found in the Gospel of Matthew, which is known to be written to the Jewish believers. Story of Magi tells us that our God is bigger than that, bigger than even our imagination. Our world is getting smaller. Look at our kids, how they communicate, what they know, how they're able to zip from one place to another around the universe. Yet, even today, in this country, where 98% of us can point to an ancestor who came from overseas, in this country of immigrants, our president has a hard time talking about how we can serve the immigrants who are living among us, or the undocumented people who are here. We forget our roots. We forget that we are part of that crowd who teemed on our shores looking for a better life. The Bible is way ahead of us. Even the early church struggled with this issue. There were the Jews and the Greeks. There were men and women. There were free people and slaves in the early church. And our first churches struggled with this issue. How can we be God's church on this earth? And they learned from the story of the Magi and of Jesus, how he came down to help us have a better life. You've heard a different version of a joke that I'm going to tell you. And you can laugh at that. I want you to laugh at that. But there's another message. So there was an evangelical pastor, a Catholic priest, and an Orthodox rabbi who were sitting around at our dinner table and drinking their after-dinner coffee and talking religion. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared and said, "I will grant each of you a wish." Right away, the evangelical pastor said, "Well, I want to get rid of all the Catholics." The Catholic priest said, "I want to get rid of all the Protestants." And then the angel of the Lord turned to the rabbi and said, "Well, what do you wish for?" Well, he said, "Well, if you're going to grant them their wishes, I'll just have another cup of coffee, please." Now, I've heard this joke with different religions in that, and we laugh at that. What saddens me is that we have so many versions of this story with different religions. And the world thinks that we religious people are so close-minded that we, as people who are worshiping God or serving God, have not learned the lesson, especially as Christians, of this migrant God who has come to give us a better life. The world sees us as close-minded, parochial, fearful of foreigners and things strange and different. Exactly the opposite of what Jesus was and calls us to be today. Jesus almost died. His message almost died because of Herod. See, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 begins with, "In the time of Herod." And Herod was a cruel, he was a terrible, awful king who would kill his own children, who would kill anyone who stood against him. Jesus nearly was killed. Perhaps it is not too far to suggest that even in today's world, Jesus' message is very fragile. The political systems, our world, which is getting smaller and smaller, still has a hard time with Jesus' message. Yes, we say, world is one. We are open-minded. We are diverse. Yet if we look carefully how our world is organized and how we do things, just look at what is happening in Washington among our leaders. Jesus' message is in danger, is threatened. Yet the Epiphany forces us to learn this message of an immigrant God. Well, what can we do? What shall we do when we know that Jesus came as an immigrant God? He came to give us better life, just like our ancestral immigrants did. He crossed barriers, he crossed oceans, and we are called to cross all kinds of barriers: ethnic, race, religion, sexuality, gender, age. Jesus continues to remind us that his message is to invite us to become brothers and sisters. That was it. The first church was the only place in Roman Empire where people from different backgrounds could call each other brothers and sisters. It was the only place. And that was what set them apart. And that was what made the church grow. Jesus invites us, especially as Americans, to imagine a different kind of a world, because our immigrant experiences, our immigrant families, gives us a special understanding of this God who goes across the barriers to bring good news. Is it possible for us to dream of a different kind of a world? Is it possible? This week I heard a wonderful story, and I think this story reminds us that it is possible. And it is a story of our children. Yesterday at the gathering of men, Ed Circo told me a story about his granddaughter up in Sacramento. Her name is Madison. Wonderful girl, he said. Energetic. Yet in Maddie's kindergarten class, there was a boy named Jackson. Jackson has alopecia, an illness that makes your hair fall out. When they discovered the disease, the hair fell out in 2 weeks' time. This is in December. Jackson's mom writes, "Sunday night it was really bad. There were lots of tears and I was nervous. He didn't know what the kids in class would think or say." A boy in the class named Jordan asked his mom, "I'm his best friend. I don't want him to be feeling lonely." So he asked his mom for permission to shave his head, take his hair off, so that on Monday, when he goes to school, Jackson would be the only person, only boy without any hair. Jamie Reynolds, Jordan's mom, said, "My first reaction was, oh my gosh, no, it's cold. But he told me you'll be okay. You'll be the two of us. We could be our own team." "I couldn't say no," she said. So Jordan shaved his head. She was in class that morning. I will never forget Jackson's smile the next morning. "I could cry talking about it," she wrote. And then something happened. Every day, another boy would come to school in the kindergarten, head fully shaved. And I can imagine the conversation that must have taken place in that household, right? How did he convince his parents that he wanted to shave his head? Pretty soon, in that school, there were six kids, and they gave themselves a name, Team Awesome. Well, the principal got a word of that. The principal shaved his head. But then the story doesn't end here. This is where Ed's granddaughter, Maddie, comes in. Well, Maddie's a girl, right? She didn't want to. And parents, I guess. Well, Maddie took a picture of one of her classmates and sent it over to her dad in Afghanistan and told dad, "Dad, I want you to shave your head." And guess what dad did? Dad shaved his head in solidarity with this class. Jesus saw us suffering, in trouble. He saw us, how we were messing it up, how we weren't living like brothers and sisters. So he decided to join us, become part of the team. That's how the church began, didn't it? Just like Jordan, who saw his friend Jackson and said, I need to be near him. I want to be with him. I want to help him. I want to be his brother because he's on my team. Bible reminds us that Jesus shared our humanity and was made exactly the way we are. Because he himself has suffered our every pain and sorrow, beginning with awful king trying to take his life away and dying as a criminal in the end. Jesus, this Jesus, therefore, is able to help us when we suffer. I think that's why we are, as Christians, the most optimistic people in the world. When we look at a situation, when we look at another person, we see not trouble, we see not impossibility, but we see a situation where we can help be a brother, a sister, where we can bring what we have to lessen people's pains. Just like Jordan, just like our immigrant Jesus, just like Ed's granddaughter, God is asking us to look around. See, the Magi brought the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Perhaps in today's terms, it is material goods like we will be doing on this Saturday, Stop Hunger Now. Or maybe it is our spiritual friendship, kindness. Or maybe it is the moral courage that we will have to speak up for those who are voiceless. No matter what it is, may we be like Jordan and Ed's granddaughter, Maddie, and like Jesus, and see those around us who are waiting for the good news from us. Because we will be like the Magi, bringing gifts to a world who doesn't think it deserves it, who thinks everything is lost. But we have seen the light because the light dwells in us. May we become like them this year, this day. Amen.